Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private paid therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session. Hello there. Welcome to session 57 of Selling the Couch. Hope you are having a great week. It has been unseasonably warm here in Philly, so we have literally gone between ice skating one week to wearing shorts and doing hikes the next week. It's so bizarre this winter. Anyway, I'm hoping that the weather is a lot more consistent for you wherever you're listening from. You know, I wanted to say thank you. I can't believe we're at 57 episodes and the podcast continues to grow, and I'm just so grateful for you and for taking the time to listen. Today's podcast is going to be a lot of fun. I've been looking for someone like this, that is a person that is currently in group practice and is making that transition into their own private practice, as in like they're going through the process right now. My guest today is Brian Zernjable. Brian is a marriage and family therapist based in Minnesota, right outside of the Twin Cities. And his focus is going to be working with musicians, artists, and other creatives and helping them to be more creative, to get more inspired, and helping them to really get unstuck. I wanted to have Brian on the podcast because I wanted to just pick his brain about what it's been like for him to go through this entire process of trying to make this transition, trying to figure out all of the practical things that goes into starting a private practice. In today's session of Selling the Couch, we're going to cover a number of things. First, how did Brian even make that decision to enter into private practice? How long did it take for him to start planning some of those initial steps? What are some of those first decisions that he really made as he started to think about building his own practice? And then we tackle some of the more practical things. How did he pick a location for his private practice? How did he look and how did he really rely on existing networks and community supports as he started to build his own private practice? And we wrap up with the hot couch round, where Brian shares some of the tools and tips that are working for him as he starts his private practice journey. So here's my conversation with Brian Zernjable. Hey, Brian, welcome to Selling the Couch.
What's up, Melvin? How you doing, man?
Good. It is finally nice to connect after I feel like months of social media and messages and all of those things.
Yeah, since March or April, my good therapist friend here in the Twin Cities, Beth Ryland, introduced me to your podcast. And yeah, we're back and forth on Twitter, and you still haven't accepted my Instagram request, so I'm kind of upset about that, Melvin. Come on now.
Truth be told, yeah, I started Instagram, but I have not been as active. But, you know, I may have to accept it here.
I want to see all your beautiful landscape photography.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I want to start showing more of that stuff because, you know, I feel like we're all talented in different ways. I wanted to have you on because you are like right now, like live making this transition from being in a group practice to starting out on your own. I just thought I'm looking forward to our conversation and some of the things that you've learned along in this route.
Me too. I'm really excited, not only because it's my 40th birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Yay. What's up, Selling the Couch community? And thank you for all your gifts and your donations on Facebook that you give me. That's really appreciated. But yeah, I'm right in the middle of this transition. Through the advice of another therapist friend, I actually set a date for myself to make it more real, to make it more legit and real, and kind of forced me off the couch to do something about it. Instead of just kind of hanging back and just kind of talking about it, I really needed to do that for myself. So,
yeah. Did you find that helpful, yeah, just actually set a concrete date? Because I feel like that's true.
Yeah.
Like for most of us with goals, we can always be like, oh, I can do this, but I can always do it. Or I can do it tomorrow. I can do it next week. Like,
yep.
How do you think like that's helped you actually setting the date?
After I wrote the date down, I wrote March 1st down in my calendar, my paper calendar. Because for me, writing stuff down helps in my brain, and that's what research says. So I wrote it down, I circled it in my calendar, and then I'm just trying to work backwards from that. Mm-hmm. So just having that date makes it more real for me. I don't know how other people operate, but I need that. If I see something, it's way more real for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's actually a smart strategy to then work backwards because, you know, I do a lot of that for the blog. I haven't always done it, but it's been very helpful to figure out a goal that you have and then to break it down into smaller pieces. It makes it much less overwhelming.
Yeah, I get way overwhelmed if I don't have a solid plan and a date and something to actually achieve. So,
right.
Yeah.
Brian, how did you like make the decision to actually go into a solo private practice?
Yeah, I mean, there were a few things. I knew that I wanted to work more. I wanted to do more therapy with more people. And the space that I'm in right now until March, they tried to accommodate my needs. And I'm so thankful and grateful for them for doing that. And it just didn't work out as I was hoping for and planned. And so they were super supportive of me kind of going off on my own. So to get that support from my group private practice was really, really amazing. And I'm thankful for them for that support. So
yeah, that always helps. I mean, I feel like in some ways it's nice that we're in a community where generally people are encouraging and nice.
Yeah, I was very nervous to tell them in our group meeting, but I stepped up the plate and I was mindful and sweating and nervous, but I did it. And I was shocked because I wasn't expecting the outpouring of support and like, hey, how can we help you? Do you know where you're at? Do you need help with insurance stuff? Like really unbelievable. And so I was just taken aback by that, and I still can't believe they reacted so positively to me leaving. I thought they would take it personally and, oh, it's because of me, but it really wasn't. So, yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. So, you know, they suggested all sorts of things like, how can we help you with this? How can we help you with insurance? What are some of those like critical first things that you did, even at a practical level, when you made that decision right after you said, I'm going to do this on March 1st?
Well, for me, even before like circling the date, I needed to meet with my squad, my therapy folks here in the Twin Cities that are doing solo private practices. So I would meet them for coffee, grab a cocktail and just pick their brain. I would pick up the tab just to show appreciation for their time and just really pick their brains about, hey, how did you do your solo private practice? What did you do first? I need to know more about that. So yeah, there was just a lot of research and outreach and networking with trusted folks that I know in the community here.
Right. How did you find, how did you like build this squad?
15 years of social service and mental health work in the Twin Cities. Yeah.
That's a lot of relationships.
Well, unlike you, Melvin, I'm extroverted and I enjoy connecting with people and I get energized by meeting with folks and just hearing more about what they do. So,
yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of wisdom to that. Like, even if you haven't been in the field for 15 years, like, even thinking about folks you went to grad school with, former professors, I mean, those are always great people to stay in contact with.
Well, yeah. The owner of the group private practice that I'm at right now was my practicum supervisor at St. Mary's here in town. And that's how we connected. I was laid off from a county job because of budget cuts. And we connected at a fall conference for the MAMFT here. And she asked me what I was doing, and I said, nothing, just kind of hanging out, unemployed. And so so she invited me in to talk to the group, and it was a good fit at the time, and I joined. So relationships, that's where it's at. Yeah.
Just shifting a little bit, so you had picked their brains, you asked them about how they had been successful. What are some of the themes that emerge in those conversations?
To start sooner than later, like, to get your ducks in a row, make a plan, and then execute that plan. I'm a great ideas guy, but I really struggle with writing it down, following the plan, doing step-by-step kind of stuff, which is what, I don't mean to fluff your feathers here, but Selling the Couch and all your guests have been really amazing for me in my journey here. So yeah, just starting earlier and getting a plan and actually making the phone calls to the insurances, driving around and finding out locations and talking to landlords and other therapists about where they're at and their building and that stuff. So
no, I really appreciate your vulnerability in that, because I think this is true for a lot of us. We are really creative people. We're great, like, dreamers, and we're very, like, inspirational. And I think sometimes it's hard to actually, like, take steps. I know for me, like, before, and I still struggle with it, but before I launched this blog, like, I was, like, very similar. You know, I would have all these dreams, and then I'd write them down, but I would never take that step to actually implement it.
I got to tell you, without my therapist squad and my wife, Angie, I would be homeless or living in my parents' basement. So they keep me grounded. My wife is an amazing logistics and kind of business marketing mind. She's been extremely helpful. I can't imagine where I'd be without her. So, yeah.
Shout out to Angie.
What's up, Ange? It's my birthday.
Speaking of which, like, so you went and got talked to landlords. How did you even go about, like, trying to figure out a potential location? I know you're still trying to figure out where your office will be, but how are you going about that?
That's a great question. Probably location, location, location. I'm just kidding. I've sort of built my name and my brand in the South Metro, so location in that area is important for me. If clients want to continue to work with me, they can follow me. Price point is important. I've got a budget that I need to work within, and I'm learning a lot about, hey, this is the price of the gross square footage, but internet is not included. So that could be an extra $100, $150 depending on the company. So location, price point, and then really like the office, the feel of the office. I'm a feely guy and a vibe guy. I want to have a good vibe and atmosphere when I go into an office space and building. So how a building looks, how it smells, that's been kind of a crazy dynamic that I never thought of before, but the smell of an office building stuck with me for 3 hours yesterday as I was looking around, and I knew that was not the space for me.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's so interesting. Like, you think about it from a client perspective, right? These are all potentially things that clients would notice, like what a place feels like, what it smells like.
Absolutely. Yes. All important things for me anyway. I know a lot of that stuff isn't important for a lot of clinicians, but I think that's important. Comfort level and, you know, the vibe and the smell of a place is really huge for me.
Right. So are you thinking, like, in terms of, would you sublease, like, a place, meaning, like, just rent it out for a day or two from someone existing? Or are you thinking about, like, having a space where you would have for the week?
Yeah, I really am at a point right now where I would like my own space. 7 days a week, 24/7 access. I can come and go as I please. I've had other scenarios and situations where that really wasn't a good fit for me. I want to have a spot that's me, me, me.
Right.
For me and my space and my clients to come in and feel comfortable. So, yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking right now.
Again, just shifting a little bit, I know that you have such a cool population that you're working with. So tell us a little bit more about that. And how did you decide to narrow your focus to working with a certain population?
You know, in my 10, 15 years of working in the field here, I literally worked with everyone because you had to, working with the county and different agencies. And I don't know. I mean, Corey Bank and his podcast interview episode with you was instrumental to me really kind of narrowing it down to my, I call it the 3M now, marriage, men, and musicians. That just really helps me cater my practice to folks I really want to work with, my ideal client. Even a year or two ago, I would scoff at the idea or laugh, oh, your ideal client, who do you think you are? I think I get that now. I get that concept because a really good fit for myself and the client is so huge. I've done intakes for folks before that just haven't worked. I really want to kind of narrow down that focus, and Corey's been really helpful with that, and just thinking and talking to other therapists about niche marketing. The riches are in the niches, Melvin.
That's a great phrase. Yeah.
I'm stealing and borrowing that from all you guys. Yeah. So
sounds good. Go for
it.
You know, I wanted to ask you kind of a little bit more of a personal question, which is, how, like, feel like starting, you know, like, my real thing is just, my only model is starting this blog. But, like, how have you gone about handling like the emotional toll of this, because I feel like this is something we don't often talk about. And I notice like I'm getting emotional because I think about like when I started this blog, it was hard work, and it wasn't. I know that like people see the end product, right? But they don't see the hard work that's been put in, you know, the early hours, the weekends given up sometimes.
I'm tempted to sign up to Periscope just to give folks the live struggles of, oh, this building smells horrible, or my wife isn't talking to me today. Just like you in starting this podcast, there's so much fear playing into this. There's days that I don't want to go see offices today. I don't want to talk to any insurances. I'm spent, exhausted, tired, sad. So there's bad days, and then there's really good days when the sun is shining and I'm talking to really good people and I see a potential office space that, boy, just could work. And I'm the emotions of, what am I willing to tolerate and put up with? Am I being too picky? What does my wife think about this? What would other people think about this? And then quieting that noise and thinking to myself, what do I really need? What do I want out of this? And what's my priority? So yeah, it can be a roller coaster of, I'm in a roller coaster of emotions, like Will Ferrell in that movie. But yeah, it's rough sometimes. But yeah, I'm an optimist, so I'm looking forward to the positive of all of this. So
yeah, I mean, I think that is why, like, even something as basic as like writing down a date and writing down like simple steps, that's why it's so important, because the day-to-day or even the hour-to-hour part of it, it can be like, it can feel like a roller coaster. And I won't try to replicate your Will Ferrell.
Nobody can, actually. So yeah, don't even try that. Yeah.
No, I appreciate you saying that, because I think it is, it's definitely a challenge. And I heard this phrase one time. It's like, don't get too high with the highs and don't get too low with the lows.
Oh, man. Yes. That's the Joe Mauer Twins baseball motto here is he doesn't get too jacked up when he hits a home run, and he doesn't get too upset if he strikes out. So, yeah.
It's probably one of the biggest lessons I've learned in launching the blog.
Yeah. Really keep it even keeled.
Right. So are you ready for the hot couch round?
Oh, God, I've heard so much about this.
Yeah, now you are on the hot couch. Here it's happening live.
Can we turn the heat down just a little bit?
Yeah, I'll adjust it right after these questions are done, of course.
it's my birthday. Take it easy on me.
What's a daily habit that you believe contributes to your success?
My body has found out that it needs to walk or exercise every day. It used to be every other day or maybe twice a week. I need to get out and just put the headphones on, play some good music, and just walk around the block or walk around the lake. I need exercise. I need music. And like you, I love photography. It puts me in a whole different space, a different headspace with where I'm at emotionally and stuff, and just art, and just using art to calm myself down. It's really, really helpful.
Yeah.
So,
awesome.
Yeah.
What's an online resource that's been invaluable on your private practice journey?
Psychology Today, I think, is a basic kind of website that gets me a lot of referrals right now. So that's great. Your podcast and Facebook page has been amazing for connecting with folks internationally, really. Folks that I might not meet, but I hope to meet when you host your Philadelphia Selling the Couch party time next year, right?
Yeah, sounds like it. Looks like we have an event planned.
I can DJ, man. I can play solo trombone. People will love it. Yeah.
We'll have to make it happen.
That'd be great. And then also there's a Facebook group called the Midwest Mental Health Network that has been awesome. Elizabeth Glidden has started that, and she's amazing too. And it's just sharing resources and information with folks on Facebook. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
What is your favorite business-related book?
In my group private practice right now, Lynn Grotzky's book is there, and I pick just a random page whenever I see the book and I'm making coffee or no one else is in the kitchen area. So I'll pick up the book and point to a random page, and almost without fail, that speaks to me and where I'm at right now. And it's kind of crazy, but that book has been really good for me. So yeah, Casey Truffaut's book is also awesome. So
awesome.
Yeah.
What's one tip that you would give to someone who's thinking about starting their private practice?
Start earlier than you thought you would need to start. And don't be afraid of being rejected by whoever, you know, a landlord or insurances. That's a big part of my fear starting out here was, I'm going to get turned down, and that doesn't feel good for me. I like people saying, yes, Brian, of course you can do that. Or, yes, you can have that. I think that fear of rejection has blocked me. So just to start earlier, take your time and be gentle and kind with yourself as you start out. But yeah, that's what I would say.
Awesome. And then imagine if you were starting in this private practice journey all over again. You have $500 in your laptop. What's the first step that you would take toward building your practice?
I would volunteer or get nominated somehow for your local MFT or psychology board. It doesn't cost anything to join, so that's free. But that has been crazy awesome for referrals in my network here. My referral numbers have tripled, if not quadrupled, since I've joined the board. I was on the elections committee for the Minnesota Association for Marriage and Family Therapy, and that was awesome. And your typical kind of boilerplate, get a good website. WordPress is awesome. Cat Love can help you out with that, too. And just saving your money for coffee and cocktail dates with other therapists in the area.
Great answers, yeah. Ryan. You are off the hot couch, and I will turn the temperature down now.
Oh, thank you. Sweet.
Brian, what are some ways that folks can get in touch with you?
Yeah, by email, brianzernzible@gmail.com. That's a good one. Facebook, I'm all over Facebook. Twitter and Instagram, my handles are @BPZMag, BPZMAG. And then my website is coming soon. That'll be at brianzernzible.com. It's currently being developed, and I'm really excited to launch that hopefully in January.
Awesome. Good luck.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Awesome.
Take good care, okay?
Melvin, I love you, brother. Take it easy in Philly.
Yeah. Sounds good. Take care.
Thanks
Bye.
So much for having me. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Hello. Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Brian. That was a lot of fun, and he has such great energy, and I'm really happy that he came on and just shared a bunch of things that were working for him in just an honest and kind way. You know, the truth is when I started this podcast, I did it with the intention of starting my own private practice, and I've had to put a bit of that on the back burner just because of how fast the blog is growing, but it's something that I intend to do in the future. And I think that my conversation with Brian just reminded me that starting a small business, it's not something that occurs without any kind of emotion. I heard this once, and I think this is so true, that starting any kind of a small business brings with it with every kind of emotion and insecurity for us. And I just appreciated how real Brian was with his struggle and some of the things that he's encountering as he starts this private practice journey. Brian mentioned a number of resources, and you can find that on the show notes page at sellingthecouch.com/session5 and 7. If you're listening to this around the day that it comes out, you may know that quarterly taxes are due. I know it's everyone's fun time of the year, it's just a reminder that quarterly taxes are due on January 15th. If you need a tax write-off checklist, you can find that at sellingthecouch.com/tax. I basically put down a checklist of every item that I could think of pertaining to being in private practice and the things that you could write off for taxes. You'll also get access to the Selling the Couch newsletter, which has now 933 folks on it. Man, it's amazing. Thank you so much again for taking the time to listen to today's podcast and for letting our colleagues know about the Selling the Couch podcast and the blog. Have a great week and take good care of yourselves this week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in the quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up
your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically, and not salesy and slimy, and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcastingworkshop.